Welcome to another episode of the Disciple Making Leader Podcast. I'm your host for today, Ben Borgman, the Executive Director of Disciple First. With me again, we've got the producer. That's your new nickname, the producer, Dallas Harvey.
Oh boy.
And Dallas, we've been, this is our second episode of season four. And really what, you know, what we're sharing with the audience is this live event we did, Disciple Making Leader Live, during the Cross Creek Collective last year. And we're sharing these three conversations we had with leaders from across the collective. And so I'm excited about today's episode because these are two of my favorite people within the collective. No offense to anybody else, but I just really I've known these two for a pretty good while. I just really appreciate, number one, the first person you'll hear from in this interview is Luke Calvert. He serves at Cultivate NYC in Harlem. And man, he has just really stuck it out in a hard place. It's not the Bible Belt in New York.
No.
It's a little bit different. Things aren't as cut and dry sometimes. We have our own challenges here in Texas, but sometimes ministry is a little bit easier to facilitate here and in rhythm with culture and things that, you know, they have to extend, like really build trust and all these and really extend ministry. And I just love his kind of steadfastness and how he's just really stuck it out, but his priority to be a disciple-making leader even in a hard place.
Yeah.
And that's what I love. And then, you know, the second person that you'll get to see in this video is Kaylee Farnan. She's actually been on an episode before when we highlighted the Cross Creek residency. And so I really, for her, she's a homegrown talent. She's a homegrown, yeah. You know, she's a homegrown minister here at the church.
She's the product of the process.
Yeah. And I mean, her parents were members here. She grew up in this church, grew up in the student ministry, was called into ministry as she was being discipled in this church. She joined the residency and now she's on staff on our student team. And so just getting to hear her story and hear how God's used her and wired her, man, I just love hearing that. Just honestly, people that didn't necessarily just, I want to go into ministry, but just along their journey, God called them into ministry, and she's one of those people.
Yeah, it was a really exciting episode to watch. I mean, Luke just explaining how the challenges of every person in his context having a different background and how you approach that disciple-making relationship and build trust with no foundation to build off of, and it's totally different every time. It's something we can all learn from, especially if we're in a context where I think, you know, here we just assume maybe that everyone has this Christian foundation, or at least they understand, and really we can't assume those things, and Luke helped us show that, and Kaylee's just so solid.
Yeah.
There's so much you can learn from her.
Yeah.
And so I'm really looking forward to getting to this episode.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's just kind of get after it. And
let's
so I hope you enjoy this episode. All right, Trey, we're back.
We are back.
It's a quest for Topo Chico.
It's a quest. It's a good quest. And you know what? We've got some people here tonight that are from not Texas.
Not Texas.
We've got people from the Northeast.
From the Northeast.
You know what I'm talking about?
Where's that?
NYC.
NYC. Harlem, to be specific.
Absolutely.
How about we bring up Luke Calvert?
Let's go, Luke.
Yeah, come on.
All right. Hometown favorite.
There we go, Luke.
Thank you very much for the...
Look at that. You are. You're a little favorite.
As an ex-student pastor, that made me feel a lot of love right there.
Yeah. You got a little fan club. Yeah.
Come on, student ministry.
There you go.
There we go.
You just have that thing. Everybody loves Luke.
Wow, I appreciate that.
We'll send a letter and a message back to Cultivate for you.
Yeah,
everybody loves Luke.
I told my son I was going to be on a podcast today. He thought I was a superhero. So.
Oh, there you go.
What can I say?
How old is he?
He's five, and I also have a three-year-old, and he has no idea what a podcast is.
Okay.
Yeah, but I will say he asked me, this is a good pastor moment for me. He asked, my five-year-old said, is it Tiny Theologians, Dad? I said, no, that's your favorite podcast.
Oh, that's so good.
There you go.
I'm on a different
one. There you go. All right, so you serve with Cultivate NYC in Harlem as part of the Cross Creek Network. What's your role there?
Yeah, I'm one of the lead pastors alongside Robin Carabin in West Harlem.
Yeah, and you guys are killing it, doing a great job in a hard place.
Yeah. You know, it is a hard place, and it's hard to believe, quite frankly, that we're doing this work in West Harlem, in New York City, of all places. If you told me 5-6 years ago that we were planting a church in West Harlem to make disciples that make disciples, I would have called you a liar. So the Lord is faithful and
you're
kind.
A liar. You're a liar. Yeah. So what would you say is something very unique, being a disciple maker in Harlem, in your context, in New York City?
Yeah, I think... something that was vital for me is that when I was a freshman in high school, I had my youth pastor look at me and said, hey, I think you like Jesus, but you don't love him. And it's time to follow Jesus, and you're going to be a disciple. And as you disciple, you're going to disciple others. And so one thing I think that was really, really beneficial in my life in ministry in New York City is that I had learned some of the do's and don'ts of disciple making as a young man into college, into pastoral ministry in Indianapolis, and then getting into ministry in West Harlem. But one of the biggest things I've learned about doing ministry in the city is that you've kind of got to back up the starting line and be willing to be very patient in disciple making. In our breakout session today, I was telling some of the people that were there, I was yelling at the wall year one. Why are we not making disciples? You know, and I had to learn that the Lord is faithful and kind and good, and he knew I was in my stupidness, but we had to be patient and learn what it meant to do that in the city.
Yeah. What are some of the unique challenges that you face in a urban big city context that you might not face, you know, in the suburbs or something like that?
Yeah, I think the diversity plays a large part of people coming from all over the world. And so typically in Indianapolis, for say, where I was doing ministry for many years, I dealt with the same kind of preconceived notions or confusions. In my experience, it was kind of, you either came from a Catholic background or your grandma was a Christian and now you're trying to learn what that means. In New York, you have a vast array of different ideologies around religion, around God, around even around what Jesus has done. And so working to help them not only understand the work of Christ, but how they can play a part in the mission of God can be really, really challenging.
So what ways are you really building, like, practical? Let's talk super practicality. What ways are you helping really build that relational trust that it takes? Yeah. And you're saying it takes a long time to build that there.
Yeah, I think the word that you use is the key. In our context, that if you do not build trust with the community, you will not make disciples in our community. And you got to back up even a little bit from trust. How do you build trust? You build trust by serving your community and doing that faithfully. And so the mission of the local church is directly tied to the success that we have in disciple making, right? So if we were not engaging our community for the gospel, you'll never be making disciples in a context that's 3% Christian, right? And so we have to work diligently to serve our community, build trust in our community, and then disciple those that we are serving. And 4 years in, we're beginning to see the fruit of our labor. And so some things are opening up for disciple-making opportunities.
So what does serving the community look like? I know you guys do a great job with that. Can you just kind of give us a picture of what that looks like?
Yeah, it looks a couple of different ways. One, Robin and his wife, Jess, have started a literacy program. Yeah, give it up for Robin, please. Come on out.
Yeah.
Let's go, Robin, right there.
Come on, man. And so serving the community in what was a felt need that we identified as a church in our community that we needed to help kindergarten or third graders learn how to read. And so serving every Saturday through the school year in literacy has been one of those ways. That's another way to build trust with parents quickly, is by serving their children and loving them. Other ways we call family days. So we do big, you know, outreach events. Now, I will tell you, we had an Oklahoma mission team come out. And we did s'mores on a little table, and you should have seen New Yorkers' response to s'mores. It was unbelievable. Like, they're holding this, like, they are doing this thing right here with a s'more.
What do I do with it?
Yeah, exactly. But it's truly continuously being in the community for the community. Yeah.
What I've loved, you and I have talked, again, not enough in my opinion, we haven't talked enough, but like at these events that we do yearly, I've watched you over the last 3 or 4 years really kind of grow and walk through some of those things. And to me, what I appreciate is your flexibility. And I think looking at disciple-making leaders and people that are disciple makers for a lifetime, That's one of the greatest attributes I see in them, is flexibility to environment. It's not always going to be the same thing. You don't just, everybody's not going to be able to come to a certain group at a certain time and do all these things, but being flexible and adapting. And man, I applaud you for that. And I praise God for him helping you be flexible and push through that and being patient. What's one story that you would share that you can say, man, because I was patient, God did this in the life of somebody?
I think one of the coolest things over the last year, when we first started our mission 4 years ago in West Harlem, Columbia University sits right next to where we gather, right? And so naturally you begin to think about, we're going to engage Columbia University for the gospel. I can't wait to see what the Lord's going to do. And that was around the same time that they locked the campus down. So if you don't have a QR code from an admin or a professor or a student, you cannot get on campus. And so that dream kind of quickly went out of the window. And about 3 years later, the Lord called a family on mission to New York City. And the male, the husband, worked for Columbia University. Mm. And he came up to me one day at church and he said, hey, would you want to start a Bible study on campus? And I said, yeah, is the sky blue? What? Yeah.
So, what are you talking about?
So I show up day one and they've got 10, you know, men's soccer players there ready to dive into the Word of God, and two of them were believers. And so over the last year and a half, I've got to lead both men's and women's soccer teams on Columbia's campus from 9 to midnight. 9 p.m. to midnight. I have two kids, if you remember that. But it's been amazing to see the two believers in that room. Now I'm getting to disciple them, and they're going to go on discipling others in the Bible study. So
there you go.
It's been amazing,
man. There you go. Yeah. Great job, man.
Yeah, pray for
them. Absolutely.
Pray for
celebrate God. That.
Yeah. So thank you again. Thank you for serving in a hard place and staying at it. Again, I really do. I praise God for your patience, your endurance, and sticking at it and trusting him to do what he does, right?
Thank you.
All right. Well, let's give it up for Luke.
Now, Brother Ben.
Yeah.
I said we got somebody that's from far away, but we got somebody from right here.
Real close. Homegrown.
Homegrown.
And what I was told in student ministry, you guys can tell us, what I was told is that this was going to make our approval rating of our podcast increase by 1 million. Was that, Nick, 1 million points? All right, let's bring up Miss Kaylee Farnan.
Let's go, Kaylee.
There we go.
Let's go. Let's go.
I love y'all.
Wow.
I think
this
it worked.
Joy.
Craig, I think it worked. Wow. See, now we're catching up to Pastor David.
I think we're cool because she's cool.
I think so. And it's because she's so nice.
I'm cool because they're cool. That's all I'm saying.
No, Kaylee's, if you don't know her, Kaylee's one of those person you have a conversation with, or you leave and you just feel, you're in a better mood and you feel better about yourself. She's such an encouragement, and she's actually been on the official Disciple Making Leader podcast as well.
That's right.
Yeah, it was really fun.
Yeah, so she's just a regular now.
You put the headset on and had the big mic.
Oh, it was really weird. I could hear my own voice, and I had to sadly tell you guys that I'm not a fan of Topo Chico, but I do love water.
There you go. Water, yes, water.
That's right.
Yeah. So, but what, like Craig said, you're homegrown. You were raised in this church.
I was. Yes.
Yeah. So, tell us a little bit about your journey from being here, being a girl, and your parents going here, and then kind of where that journey has taken you.
Obviously, like, I have to give credit to my parents for finding this church in 2001 when I was a baby. was involved in the worship team, kids worship team, growing up, and was always going to Wednesday nights, the jungle that was over there. I'm sure you remember that, Craig.
I remember the jungle.
With the big grill in the front.
Big grill in the front.
I had countless people that were investing in me as a kid. And obviously, I gave my life to Jesus in third grade at Sky Ranch for camp. Shout out to camp. It's revolutionary. Not revolutionary. It's not revolutionary. It's wonderful. It's the best place, my favorite place. But I kind of went wayward and had and believed in the gospel, but didn't have a relationship with Jesus, and I wasn't it wasn't the right time for me to really listen to the people that were trying to speak truth into my life until I graduated high school. But there were key leaders like Kristen Wheeler, Michaela Bundy, who knew me and kept investing. Yeah. And never gave up on me. And so when it finally came to fruition, and I had that realization of, like, no, I want to be all in. Kristen and Michaela started meeting up with me for coffee. Michaela went through the groceries with me, and then leaders like Darren and Nick, Pastor Nick, saw that leadership in me and took a chance and asked me to be an intern and got a calling to go into ministry, and the rest is history. It's been a blessing, and it's just insane how many people have invested in my life. And it's amazing that I get to invest in all of these students now and friends and family. And so
you've gone, I mean, again, grew up in the church, ended up an intern, resident, now on staff, and discipled here.
Even before that, a volunteer. So it was, look at that. It was student and then volunteer, intern, resident, now associate. And
now we just need, we need about another 1,000 of those, right, Craig?
Right.
That's right.
Yeah, we need more leaders. We got some churches to plant. So, no, but I just love, what I love about your story is how critical the people that invested you, because we're talking about grow. How do we invest our lives in other people? And I think you are the picture of the power of someone investing in your life and how that really led to where you ended up in ministry. Tell us a little more. You mentioned a couple of names, but just tell us a little more about them and how specifically that led to you actually having a call in ministry.
Yeah, so I have to give credit to my mom because she was the one that kept asking us to go to church with her growing up. But in high school, when it was kind of our decision, Kristen Wheeler, she was a friend's mom of mine, and she met me when I was in sixth grade, and she and her daughter would constantly invite me to all the D-Nows, the summer camps, even when I was just like, I don't need to go. They're like, we'll offer to pay. Like, we'll get you a scholarship. You're going. And then just kept checking in on me, and it was the fact that they knew me personally and that I knew I had someone in the student ministry that cared about me that kept me going.
Yeah.
And so, you know, she, when I finally came to the realization that I was being dumb, and I, you know, wanted to have a relationship with Jesus, she met up with me at least twice a month for coffee and just started talking to me about how we pray and how to really read the word, and was open and available constantly for any questions I may have had, to talk about any situations of, you know, it's hard moving from high school to college. And so, especially living here still in community college, it was a hard transition. And so just her having a seat at the table for me, just to the hospitality that she offered me was insane. And I'm incredibly grateful for it. And then Michaela, I met her through the worship team because I was in worship team in high school. She opened her home to a bunch of the young adult women in the ministry, and every Thursday night we would read a chapter of the Book of John or the Book of Mark, and I fell in love with reading the Word. And us. That's us finishing the Grow series, and that's us in the worship room. And I still have like a really solid connection and friendship with those two women. And there's more. I mean, Skylar Robinson helped me with the residency last year. It's just, I'm incredibly grateful.
Don't you love that, how God just puts the right people in the right place at the right time?
And I would just say it's God's provision. Yeah. Like, I needed them in the right time and season in my life for each of them. And so I am glad, though, that I get to serve alongside them now, which is crazy.
And you have a great model in front of you to how to love and be hospitable and serve, and now with students and other people in the church and people in your life.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's just an amazing thing to pass on. So that's incredible.
You know, one of the things I just want to point out is that she's not mentioning people that are necessarily on staff, right? But just godly people in the church intentionally reaching out, calling, inviting, embracing, speaking truth into your life, and you knew that they loved you and cared about you more than anything. That's something everyone can do. That's something that anyone can do, and it has a tremendously powerful impact.
It's life-on-life discipleship.
Absolutely.
It's what it should always be modeled as.
Yeah. Absolutely. So. That's so good. We're so proud of you. Thanks. We're so glad to have
Thank
you
for being my pastor all these years.
Absolutely. You're welcome.
So, Luke, Kaylee, thank you both. Again, you encourage me. Again, y'all are an encouragement to my heart as we do what we do, and I get to serve alongside you, Kaylee, and hearing stories of what's going on at Cultivate. You are encouraging through this podcast, through your work there, more people than you know, and one day we'll stand back and we'll be able to see that. So thank you for what y'all are doing and your investment.
Thank you.
All right, give it up for Kaylee and Luke.
Luke and Kaylee.
Guys, thank you for watching this episode. We hope it was a blessing to you. We'd love to hear from you what you learned from it. If you want to connect with us or hear more about what we have available, our resources that can help you make and multiply disciples like Jesus, those will be in the show notes below, along with any information and links about our guests and their ministries. We pray you have a good day. Take care.